I'm sorry, two words I always think after you're gone, when I realize I was acting all wrong.
With her latest CD, The Reminder, and songs like this one called So Sorry, the Canadian singer-songwriter Feist appears to be on her way to becoming a full-fledged star. Her previous album, Let It Die, helped solidify her as a darling of the indie rock scene. But The Reminder is an album that both the critics and the broader public seem to love. And it's even being featured at Starbucks. We've caught up with Feist, whose first name is Leslie, at Washington, D.C.'s 930 Club, where she was setting up for a show. Welcome to the program.
Hi.
You've got this very distinctive vocal style, sort of sotto voce, but you haven't always sung softly. You fronted a punk band for a while.
Well, really, it was the early 90s in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and it was the soundtrack to being 15, you know? It was loud, percussive, aggressive.
It actually damaged your voice.
Yeah, it was too loud, I guess. But, you know, happy accident, because I was 19 when it happened. I had been on a Cross Canada tour, and just we really had to play the show to make the gas money to get to the next show to just get ourselves home. And so, yeah, I was really ill by the time I got home, and then ended up moving to Toronto to see a specialist about it. And around that same time, I got into more instrumental music, and
you learned to play the guitar, right?
And that's when I picked up the guitar, I guess, because I couldn't sing for that period. So it was a really lucky thing that happened in the end.
Mm-hmm. When you listen to the music, that music now, do you cringe?
Oh, I don't. Or yeah, I guess I do. I think in a way the memories are so potent and so positive. It was great. I mean, I had something that I loved doing to wrap all those teen years around, you know, and it made my heart beat, and it was all those movie moments of crying in the rain, intensity, but something to put it into, you know. But I wish we'd never made albums, because now I listen, I think, oh, that's what we were doing. But it was perfect for the time.
You know, I was listening to I Feel It All, which is on Reminder. And I thought, you know, it could have been a very loud rock anthem that could have been turned way up with really, you know, screaming vocals.
I feel it all, I feel it all. I feel it all, I feel it all.
And I wonder, when you sing it, do you ever feel like you want to cut loose like that?
Not really. I suppose when you're feeling it all, you're not only feeling anger or loudness. It's coming from maybe the heart rather than the fist or something, you know.
Ooh, I'll be the one who'll break my heart. I'll be the one to hold the gun. I know more than I knew before.
Can you still sing very loud if you want to, or if you have to, or does it risk your voice if you do that?
It's more a choice now. I'm just not really interested.
Yeah, despite singing softly, I think, I mean, somehow you manage to get a huge range of emotion that you might not get if you tried to sing more powerfully.
Yeah, it's something that I think I figured out slowly, was if you're playing a show and there's a chatter, or there's, you know, a lot of noise, people talking or something, I was never the one whose instinct was to try to be louder than them. So I suppose I sort of figured out subtlety is where, for me anyway, I feel the most interested in what goes on that level.
You spent the last several years in Europe, Paris and Berlin. Why did you decide to move over there?
I think I was just tired of Toronto, and I had never been to Europe. And I mean, coming from Canada, for the NPR listeners, a little perspective of the way America looks, you know, it's really this enormous, 10 times as populated as us country, tons of cities. And yet somehow there's two enormous iron doors. There's one in New York City and there's one in California. And those are the ways you can get into America, the way you enter as a musician. Europe, though, you know, I always, if you just squint and imagine it, there's hundreds of these little colorful hobbit doors, you know. There's a little red one in Sweden and then the little orange one in Spain and a little, and it's, there's more places where you can begin. And all of my Canadian friends that have moved to Europe, we always joke that our little slogan is we come from Canada, so we've got stamina. Because when you cut your teeth touring in Canada and then you go to Europe, it's like Easter egg hunt every morning, just fun.
You grew up in Saskatchewan and Alberta, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I can't help but note that one of the greatest Canadian singer-songwriters, Joni Mitchell, grew up in Saskatchewan, Saskatoon, I think. You grew up in Regina?
Regina, yeah. My grandparents were there, so I was there a lot, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you listen to Joni Mitchell? Did she influence you in any way?
Not until I moved to Toronto. Mm-hmm. Yeah, then I discovered Joni Mitchell, and of course Blue's one of my favorite albums, and I need to start tiptoeing my way into her later work, but I really only really know Blue.
But you have a lot of the same kind of intimacy in your music. Do you think of people who have affected your music, influenced your music, or directions that you've wanted to go because you heard someone doing something?
There's tons, of course, but at the same time, there's Toni Morrison's narratives, and there's Paul Auster's play-by-play, and there's great films, and the color indigo blue. You're an enormous sponge, and everything goes in there, and you squeeze it out into songs, I guess. And if you're a painter, you squeeze them out onto a canvas, and if you write books, that, you know. So all of it, yeah, there's tons of influence out there. But I wouldn't, just because I make music, I wouldn't say that my inspiration only has come from musicians, although, of course, there's tons.
One of the most intimate songs, at least for my ear on the album, is The Park. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to The Park. It sounds like you opened the window and then turned on the recorder.
That's what happened. We were outside, actually, in downtown Toronto. And there was a little parquet, you know, a quarter of a city block, kind of in between buildings. There, in the middle of the day, in downtown Toronto, that's what it sounded like.
Why would he come back through the park? You thought that you saw him, but no, you did not. It's not him who come across the sea to surprise you. Not him who went nowhere in London to find you.
Why did you decide to go simply by your last name, Feist?
I don't know. It's been years. I made the first Feist album in 98. So at that point, it was my nickname. It was as far as with my circle of friends, and just felt more accurate than two names.
Any other songs on the album that we haven't talked about that you really want people to hear this morning?
I have the Smithsonian Folkways field recordings from years and years and years ago. And on it, there was these two little girls singing Sea Lion Woman from, I think, the early 1900s.
Sea Lion Woman, Sea Lion, she drank coffee, Sea Lion, she drank tea, Sea Lion, and again no lies, Sea Lion.
These were kind of their playground songs, you know. And yeah, I ended up doing a version of that was kind of a half cover of The Little Girls, and also Nina Simone, of course, made a famous version 50 years later. And I really love the recording of Sea Lion Woman on the record.
Well, let's hear it.
Sea Lion Woman, she loved, she drank coffee, she loved, she drank tea, she loved, and was to grow, she loved. Sea Lion Woman, she loved, she drank coffee, she loved, she drank tea, she loved, and was to grow, she loved.
singer-songwriter Feist speaking with us at the 930 Club in Washington, D.C. Her new CD is titled The Reminder. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
Well, thanks to you. Just in back, we got the man in the
staff on his back. To hear how Feist came to write the song Sea Lion after listening to a field recording and a Nina Simone hit, go to npr.org/music. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm John Itzton. She drink tea, she love.